What do robot dogs, super nerds, and a moody smart house have in common? All this and much, much more coming up on this episode of Lasers and Lockets, the podcast that celebrates strong and complex female characters in science fiction and fantasy entertainment. This is episode 47. Welcome back to the show. I'm Lee, your friendly neighborhood host. Before we dive into tonight's super fun show, let's take a look at some nerdy news.
News.
It was announced that Keira Knightley is set to star in one of Apple TV Plus's upcoming period dramas, an adaptation of The Essex Serpent. The Essex Serpent was written by Sarah Perry and was 2016 Book of the Year by the British Book Awards. I'll be super intrigued to see this adaptation. Have you read the story? Are you going to watch the series? I'll leave a link to the article in the show notes. Black Widow, the standalone Marvel film centered around one of my favorite characters, will reportedly have up to 30 minutes of expanded frame scenes to take advantage of IMAX theater screen ratios and show the film in all its glory. The film is still set to hopefully release in theaters in November, but with COVID, it's still uncertain when it will be released. I just really hope it is in November because I am dying to see it. Lastly, if you've been a lover of this genre for a long time, a common trope you've probably seen at some point in time is women fainting after something particularly traumatic or stressful occurs. It's a trope that infuriates me as a woman. And apparently, it frustrates Sci-Fi Wire's fangirls too. You have got to check out this awesome article I found discussing the history of this trope and presents some really interesting points to help us fight for strong women to just be strong without having to remind us of weakness too. Check it out in the show notes. All right, let's get on with the show tonight. Tonight's episode was one of the funniest ones for me to research and put together. We're going to be chatting about Sci-Fi Channel's hit series Eureka, which ran from 2006 to 2012. Eureka wasn't a critical success, but it was a ratings hit for Sci-Fi. The series follows Jack Carter, a somewhat dopey, sometimes annoying, but definitely charming sheriff of a small town in the Northwest United States. But this town is anything but ordinary. The town is a massive part of a government research conglomeration along with global dynamics, and it houses the world's brightest scientists and researchers. Jack happens upon Eureka when his vehicle crashes while he's trying to bring his wild teenager back to California after she ran away from her mother. He ends up becoming the sheriff of the town when their sheriff loses a leg to a tachyon accelerator accident that's ripped across Eureka. The series is in the same universe as Warehouse 13 and another short-lived series called Alphas, just in case you're a lover of Warehouse 13 or maybe even Alphas and you haven't checked this one out yet. Hopefully this will help you out. While this series does center around this 111 IQ sheriff in a town of geniuses, it has a few interesting female characters. Tonight, we're going to be discussing Jo Lupo, Allison Blake, and Zoe Carter. Let's start with Zoe Carter. Zoe is Jack Carter's rebellious teenage daughter, and unlike her father, she's intelligent. Intelligent enough to mostly keep up with the townsfolk. Zoe is played by Jordan Danger or Jordan Hinson. Jordan starred in Disney Channel's television movie Go Figure in 2005. Of interest, Jordan trained with an Olympic choreographer for that role. She also starred opposite Angie Harmon in a direct-to-video film called Glass House, The Good Mother in 2006. Okay, let's head back to the character of Zoe, though. One of the things that I love most about Zoe, I think, is that she is street smart. Even though she can keep up with the geniuses in town, she has an edge over many of them because she knows how to survive in the real world. She's more willing to follow her instincts, and her instincts are almost always right. There's a super awesome icy episode in season 3 where the town is almost overrun by an ice age organism that makes ice grow at an exponential rate. Zoe's quick thinking and instincts saved everyone at Vincent's Cafe, Cafe Diem. Zoe is also super compassionate, kind, and a thoughtful teenager. She cares about people other than herself, and that can be pretty rare in a 17-year-old. She's also pretty wise beyond her years and mature enough to interact easily with adults. Her best friend in town is Joe Lupo, Jack's deputy, and then eventually the head of GD security. More on her later. Zoe has good instincts when it comes to the intentions of other people, too. She's a beautiful young woman, and of course, some of the handsome troublemaker boys are after her, but she chooses a super adorable, dorky, respectful nerd as her boyfriend during seasons 2 and 3. He's a genuinely nice little fella. Little? He's not little, he's giant, but a genuinely nice guy. She knows her worth and is unwilling to settle for someone who is not willing to treat her well, and I think that they did a really good job with that on this series. Side note, am I the only one who finds Jack Carter sometimes super annoying? I feel like he often treats women as weaker than him and needing to be saved all the time, which is something that I found quite annoying with the series, but eventually it gets a little bit better towards the end of the series, so I think it's something they realized and they tried to work on. Anywho, Zoe is mature and trustworthy, and I just really wish that her father would trust her more. Luckily, in season 4, she's at Harvard, and she gets a chance to really flourish outside of her father's watchful eyes. Okay, let's move along to Allison Blake. Dr. Allison Blake is introduced to us in the very first episode as the DOD, or Department of Defense for you non-Americans, liaison to Eureka, and she clashes pretty bad with Jack at the beginning. He has no idea she's actually just as smart as everyone else, if not smarter in many ways. Allison Blake is played by Sally Richardson Whitfield. Though most well-known for her role in Eureka, you may have seen her in I Am Legend or Stitchers. I honestly can't remember if we've had an episode about Stitchers. I think I may have mentioned it in an episode, probably in the Warehouse 13 episode, because the actress who plays Claudia, Allison Scagliotti, is in Stitchers. That's probably where I mentioned it. Probably don't have a full episode on it yet. If you guys would like a Stitchers episode, though, please let me know. I know it was canceled on quite the cliffhanger after just 2 seasons, I think, but I would be happy to do an episode on it, or at least to include it in another episode, too. Anywho, let's get back to this episode, though. Unexpectedly, Allison finds herself as the head of GD until season 4, when they totally flip the script and Fargo is suddenly the head of GD. And by GD, I mean Global Dynamics, by the way. You're just going to have to watch that season to know what happens, but it really breathed a breath of fresh air into the series, and it was such a Eureka thing to do that I think it just worked really well. Allison is such an interesting character to me. While she's the main love interest of Jack and her dead husband before that, Nathan Stark, he was not dead at the time. Anyway, they start to develop Allison's storylines outside of being a love interest, which made me super happy. Allison is both tough and compassionate, kind and direct, and I think that's why she's so capable of commanding GD for so long. The scientists respect her because she's one of them, and she thinks like one of them, but she's also a lot like Zoe in that she has street smarts and knows how to appeal to the baser human needs and emotions. Allison is unwilling to give up on people, which is a rather crucial trait throughout the series. There are so many times when a lesser person would have given up and lost so many more people to an accident or some sort of mishap, but Allison believes in the human heart and also the human mind. One of my favorite things about this series is that it gives you little glimpses of what really makes up a character throughout the series. It doesn't just give you everything all at once, and it takes until season 4 for us to really grasp what makes each of the characters tick, and even beyond that into the last season. Allison is so compassionate, yet able to do tough things. See, we discover that Allison was raised by a couple of scientists. They were good parents, by her own admission, but they put all of their faith in science and often took a lot of the wonder out of being a child. She never got to experience things like Santa, the Tooth Fairy, etc. She wants her kids to grow up in a world where they get to believe in magic because she never got to as a kid, and I love that. Okay, on to the last character I want to dive into tonight, Deputy Joe Lupo. Joe is played by Erica Serra. You may also know her from The 100 as Allie and her creator Becca. Joe is probably my favorite character on the show, and not just because she's a badass, but we can stop to appreciate the following quote. "Good afternoon, my name is Joe Lupo, and I'll be saving your ass today." That quote completely encompasses Joe Lupo. Beyond that, while there's likely a picture of her in the dictionary next to G.I. Jane, Joe is so much more. She's strong and brave. But there's this intense vulnerability and insecurity that runs through her character, and it makes her so interesting to watch. Until season 4, she serves as Jack's deputy. But in season 4, she's suddenly the head of GD Security, and she nails it at that job. Like Allison, they just keep peeling back the layers of her character as the seasons go on, and I think they just really nailed it in that season 4. We learn that while Joe was growing up, she was raised in a military family. It's all she's ever known, and while she's proud of her family, she also worries about them a lot. She has 3 brothers and no mother, so she was raised with all men. So it's kind of interesting to see how that sort of shapes who she is. She doesn't like holidays for that reason, because of her brothers and because of the military. And currently you find out in season 4, at least, that 2 of her brothers are deployed. She realizes that Eureka is her home too, though, and she belongs there. And I think it's a really pivotal turning point for her as a character. One of the most fascinating aspects of Joe is that she is probably the most observant, intuitive character on the series. She knows all about her friends' deepest desires and wants and needs and likes and dislikes, not because she has some sort of superhero power, but because she listens, she observes, and she is thoughtful enough to use that information at just the right time, not against people, but for them. The Christmas episode is perfectly evident of that. Joe has one of the strongest wills of any character I've ever seen on the show and in many other shows I've watched. There's this really powerful episode when almost all of GD turns into anger zombies after an experiment goes horribly wrong. Of everyone infected, Joe is the only one who's able to maintain her humanity through it all and help save them. And when she was scared that she would hurt someone towards the end, she handcuffs herself to a post, unwilling to let anyone be hurt by her. I also love that while Joe is super tomboyish in her job, I mean, I love as the head of GD Security, she usually wears black dress pants and a black dress shirt. It just looks incredible. But anyway, she is that tomboyish in her job, but she also loves to be feminine outside of her job. She's pretty much the perfect example of marrying those 2 traits together. Joe is also super intelligent, like the rest of the people in the town. They never really discuss her IQ, which is a common theme throughout the series. IQs play a big role in the series, but they never really mention hers too much. But I feel like Joe is super smart, whether she's just a normal person or whether she's a genius. I think sometimes she's insecure about her intelligence, though, and a bit about her capabilities since she was passed over to become sheriff when the old one retired. Her insecurity shows her vulnerable side, and it's part of what makes her as multidimensional as she is as a character. At the end of the day, If you've never given Eureka a chance, or you thought it might just be too silly, it was likely one of the funnest watches that I've had in a really long time. It was exactly what I needed in this darkness and uncertainty of 2020, and I think it will be for you too. This is the content that 2020 needs, really. If you have Amazon Prime, you can catch the entire series on Amazon Prime. And if you want to give it a go, it's a laugh out loud, funny, nerdy as hell, charming, and full of heart series that will just capture you. Side note, it also crosses over with Warehouse 13 a couple times, which was fun for me to see. I loved seeing Claudia show up in Eureka, and I loved seeing Fargo go to the warehouse to fix some things as well. So, lots of fun. This brings us to the episode question, gentle listeners. If you could have one technology piece from Eureka or Global Dynamics, what would it be and why? I cannot wait to hear your answers. Join the discussion over on our Discord server. The link is in the show notes. You can also tweet us your answer at Lasers Lockets. And that's it for this episode of Lasers and Lockets. We'll see you back here in a couple of weeks with another episode. Until then, don't forget to walk your robot dog, steer clear of electromagnetic pulses, don't anger your smart home, and if Fargo asks for your help with a project, it might be best to just gently back away when he isn't looking. Get your nerd on and be awesome. All right.